It's increasingly clear to me. Two things that Rudy said early on. He said, life as a teacher is the teacher, and that this practice is a life's work. The only really distinguishing difference between most people's lives is how conscious or unconscious they are of living it. It is absolutely possible to live an entire life without once being conscious that you're living it. To be so completely caught up in the actions and the forms and the dynamics of your life that there is literally no perspective. It's just endless, total engagement. Life will try endlessly to make you conscious. It is programmed to make you conscious. But that does not mean that it always succeeds. For people who are available to consciousness, it can just be a little tap on the shoulder. And you wake up. You go, ha. Huh. You're walking outside and you see a bee buzzing around a flower, and suddenly something about the entire cosmos becomes revealed to you. The balance, the harmony, the interaction. Sometimes it's the person you most want or desire in your life rejects you. It has a very powerful effect. And that can awaken you. It can make you conscious. The more you resist the gentle touch of awakening, the more life resorts to the strong touch. And you actually see people all the time who don't get it, who simply don't get it. You have to really look at yourself and say, how many times a day am I conscious of being? Two seconds? For a lot of people, that's a lot. 2 seconds in the day, they go, oh, wow. 12 seconds? A possibility for being conscious really occurs if you sit and meditate. You really give yourself half an hour to experience consciousness. And really, if you're lucky, in that half hour, you'll hit 20 seconds or more. If you're really, really lucky, you'll sit down and you will be flooded with amazement. You will sit down and this thing will dawn in you. a kind of profound awareness of simple existence, that you are. And the moment you feel it, there is something so overwhelmingly comforting and assuring and awakening that nothing in you wants to leave that space. Other than sexual orgasm, nothing in life compares to it. Nothing. And truly, the great gift of orgasmic experience is the insight it gives you into that space. But simply sitting and opening brings you to the doorway of consciousness. And what many people experience when they sit is 28 minutes of mind event, checking off the calendar for the day, working with bodily stuff, experiences, tensions, worrying, hoping, all of this stuff, the drama. And then every so often you catch yourself doing that and you go, whoa, whoa, whoa. And then you feel, for a few seconds, this extraordinary flush of joy. And you really, really want to stay there. You really do. But then, whoosh, the calendar comes back into play, the time clock, the stuff that's waiting for you an hour from now. And there you are. You just lost the very thing you most treasured. You lost it. And then you had just spent 20 minutes getting there. And how do you have another 20 minutes to get back? Well, most people don't, because you got to stop meditating because the day is calling you. So that falls away. And out of the day, you had 10 seconds of awakening. The real core value of Rudy's teaching, and the thing I've come to appreciate more and more and more, is that it is about discipline. It is about creating a wish that is strong enough that the moment your mind goes off into its unending train of thought, something in you jumps off the train and comes back. It is brought back into your heart chakra, it's brought back into your navel chakra, or it's just brought back into conscious presence. And you realize you have this enormous ability to let go of your own stupidity, to let go of your own distraction, to let go of your own unconsciousness. You can do it, but you have to do it. Nobody else can do it. It is the extraordinary nature of spiritual work that you have the power to let go of your own fascination with you. And that really is what spiritual practice is. It is a conscious letting go of all the bullshit. And to let go of it, you have to become aware of your fascination with it, and how it pulls you over and over and over into its unconscious state. Because when you are unconscious, the thing that comes alive is this mind. The mind, the emotions, this thing that runs rampant and loves its own freedom. To go anywhere, to run the show. It has an enormous desire to be unconscious. And our attraction to unconsciousness is a fundamental part of who we are, of who all people are. Coming into life is in some ways a very unconscious event for most people. It is one of the great events of humanity, of existence, to be born, but it is a birth into something that is in rebellion against, or in a way, avoidance of, consciousness. That does not mean it's not supposed to happen. Somehow or another, we are sent catapulting into existence. And the minute we taste it, we love it beyond measure. We are fascinated by it beyond measure. Everything about it is amazing to us, the beautiful and the horrific. And we are attracted to both. We are compelled by being. But we are not conscious. When you sit down and you simply take a breath, and you allow yourself a moment of awakening, the world does not become less fascinating, less wondrous. It becomes consciously fascinating, consciously wondrous. You look at it in awe. You look at it in absolute awe and lack of comprehension. It is so vast, it is so unexplainable, it is so beautiful, it is so terrifying that all you can do is let go and surrender. And in that surrender, you become gradually aware that you are the very thing you are observing. That there is no line between the observer and the thing that is seen. It is a singularity. And you start to open to that, which means you start to become conscious of that. Consciousness has the strange aspect of being mindless. It pulls you out of your mind. Which means that to be conscious, you can't necessarily be intellectual or comprehending. So that there is this kind of fearsome aspect to arising consciousness that instead of giving you more understanding, it seems to give you less. It's not really less, because you understand in a way that is no longer conceptual. You understand things directly. Some people can call that wisdom, some people call it genius, a kind of direct perception of the whole. But the journey to that means letting go of the very thing that is trying to grasp and understand the world. Which is your mind or even your personality and identity, the thing which makes it knowable to you. Letting go of that is very hard for people. And the very thing that you're holding on to is your perception, which is your mind. You are knowing the world completely through your mind, through its judgment, its analysis, its configurationing. It's trying to make sense of this miasma of existence. And real awakening finally just says, I don't get it. It's okay. I don't understand it. It's okay. I can't own it. It's okay. And you just start to relax deeply, deeply into not knowing. And when that happens, direct perception occurs. Unmitigated, unmodulated, non-judgmental perception. And you become one with what is. The little moments that you taste orgasmically, the little moments that you taste consciously in your meditation or somewhere during the day, become prolonged. And you're no longer flitting in and out of consciousness. You are beginning to inhabit the realm of consciousness. It really is a kind of muscle. Rudy talked about it endlessly as a muscle. He called it the muscle of surrender, the muscle of letting go. As you become practiced at letting go, you are given the gift of consciousness. Without practice, it's hard to come to. I talk a lot in the introductory class about, you know, people who go to the gym once a month thinking they're building a muscle. The muscle of spiritual awakening, the muscle of consciousness, cannot be worked once a month with any effect. It's a practice. It is bringing yourself to the table. It is sitting down every day and trying to get that 10 seconds of awareness. Trust me, if you can sit every morning for the rest of your life, that 10 seconds will expand to 11, 12, then it will reduce to 2, then it will go to 20, then it will be back to 10, and then it will go to 40. And you will find this thing happening of awakening. Life will encourage it. The more you awaken, the more life explains itself to you, the more it reveals itself to you, the more it hands itself over to you. Consciousness breeds consciousness, and you grow in this awareness. And this awareness is deeply, deeply comforting. Does it protect you from everything in life? No. How could it? Life is a very strong experience, and it only gets stronger. But consciousness has the potential to reveal the fullness of worldly human experience. And as soon as you think you kind of got it, it gets bigger and more. And all you can do at that moment is the thing you've been doing all along, which is surrender and become more conscious. Life will lead you or kick you into consciousness. And if you don't get it in the course of this lifetime, again, depending on your philosophical bent, it's possible you will be given another chance at getting it. Buddha's teaching says the likelihood of getting a human life is the likelihood of a fish at the bottom of the ocean rising up into a tiny little ring about 6 inches in diameter and putting its nose through that ring. In other words, getting a human life is not an automatic given. The fact that you're here now, the fact that you're sitting here, is the award of existence. The fact that you've managed a human life is one of the most extraordinary attainments in the universe. When you will get another one, who knows? Leaving human life without getting the one thing that it was meant to bring, which is consciousness, is to have lost the entire existence and the entire journey, to have gotten nothing from it. I equate it to somebody listening to a song on the radio or on your iPod and not hearing any of the words. We do that all the time. We play the song, oh, what was that? You got to play it again. Well, you don't always get it again. You don't always get it again. And if you do, it may not be for however long. And what do you do in the interim? Well, you live a deeply unconscious brute existence, I suspect, somewhere. Not unlike your worldly existence. Just a deep, unconscious, almost animal-like trudging through space and time. Human life offers this extraordinary opportunity, the most extraordinary opportunity in the universe, and that is to awaken to who you are. That is the gift of being born. That is the gift of being human, and it is the gift of finding someone in your life who will talk to you about it. Because you know as well as I do, we could each have missed that opportunity. If I hadn't walked into Rudy's store with my carpets, Tibetan carpets, to sell, on that afternoon, after traveling literally around the world looking to find something, a teacher, a spiritual awakening, and not finding it. But I walked 3 blocks into Rudy's store with these carpets, and you've all heard this, he said, "Where did you get those carpets?" I said, "In Nepal." He said, "What were you doing there?" I said, "I went to find a teacher." "Did you find one?" I said, "No." He says, "Well, I can teach you everything you want to know." How does that happen? How does that happen? How do you walk into the presence of somebody who says, "I will teach you how to be conscious"? What brings you to that? And all the choices you can make in life, I'll tell you, you can watch television all day long, all night long, unless you turn on some of those religious channels which actually can connect you. But unless you do that, you can watch The Medium, you can watch CSI Miami, you can watch American Idol, you can watch Dancing with the Stars, you are not going to find anything in there that's going to tell you about consciousness or awakening. But once you find consciousness and awakening, you can watch CSI Miami, you can watch Dancing with the Stars, and you will find it will speak to you about nothing but consciousness. You will learn from those shows like you can't imagine, because everything in life suddenly becomes the teacher. Suddenly, because you're conscious, everything is informing you in ways that you would never have believed. But if you don't have consciousness, it's just stuff. In and out stuff. It means nothing. It doesn't adhere. It doesn't alter the system. It doesn't grow you. It doesn't change you. It just wastes your time, which is what most people do with their lives. They are one big, long waste of time. And you don't want to do that. And none of you would be sitting here if wasting time was on your agenda. Something has brought you here. I am no Rudy, but I am someone who at least is talking about the very thing that I think probably is the most important thing to talk about on the planet. If you don't want to listen to me, find someone else who talks about it. There are becoming more and more people who do it. But it's not about them. And remember this, if you go to anybody and it's about them, walk the other way. Because it's about you. It's about you. It's about your awakening. It's about your coming to consciousness. And that's what this whole practice is. And if you sit every day, you will find this growing muscle in you that will bring you this awakening, and it will become more and more awake. It'll be like getting out of the bed in the morning and kind of getting rid of all those cobwebs in your head and suddenly going, a day, another day. And you will be able to fill it with this delicious, wondrous, joyful presence. And it's not that you fill it, it's full. It's there. It's already there. It has never not been there. The only thing that's not been there is you. It's there all the time, all day long, all night long, this vast, beautiful, joyous presence. And where are you? Ask yourself that. Where are you? What is driving you crazy? What is taking all your time? What is your life about? Do you think anything else is more important than this? I mean, I know it looks like there's stuff that's more important than this, and we make ourselves believe that, but trust me, nothing is more important than this. Nothing. Not that you can't do everything. You can have a very powerful serving life. You can serve the world. You can do beautiful things. But to do that stuff without consciousness is a waste of your time. You could be Mother Teresa. If you were not conscious, it would be meaningful. Meaningless, excuse me. It would be meaningful to other people, but not to you. To live a life of service in which you don't understand anything. Yes, you may get good points in heaven, whatever they call that, you know, you may get gold star, but if you don't get conscious, you don't get anything that's meaningful. It's up to you. It's completely up to you. And the thing that's required is practice. Find a practice, be consistent, work it, and grow. And you will find that life will give you the very thing you came here to get, which is the thing that's always been there, which is a consciousness of who you are. Any questions? Okay. Right? One message. Wendy is leaving to move to Portland, where she will be becoming a nurse, a midwife, someone who will be of great conscious service to people. Wendy's been here almost 20 years, 15. And her departure for me is both sad and wonderful, because I know what she brings into the world, and it's a really beautiful, it's a beautiful and I think courageous step to make that move. And even though I will miss her deeply, I do really feel a connection to each of you that is without boundary and without time, and there will be no separation at all. But because she's leaving, and because Wendy teaches class on Wednesday nights in Hollywood, there will be a hole in the schedule, which is now going to be filled by Jackie, who will be teaching in Los Feliz on Wednesday nights. And I will send out an email about this in the next day, and with directions. So any of you who want a Wednesday night class can go there. Tuesday night classes, James is teaching, and on Thursday night, Terry and Brian have class at their place on the west side. So there are satellite classes people can go to who want to sit with a teacher more than once a week. And they are very available. And I encourage you to go as often as you can. I mean, again, given the choice, what's Wednesday night? It's American Idol, who's been thrown off. You know, you can TiVo that and have a class and then go home and find out who's been thrown off and have a wonderful sort of sense of having everything. And it's really kind of a beautiful way to do it. But take a look at the choices you make, because they really are really important. You know, you can choose going to the movies, you can choose TV, and you can choose sitting and touching consciousness. Watch what you do. I will guarantee you 98% of the time you will choose unconsciousness, because it's a lot more comfortable in a sense and a lot easier at first, but when you get to real awakening, you won't want that. Anyway, thank you all for coming today. I really am grateful to every one of you who walks into this room, and I love you deeply.